Our scripture reading, we turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, and this afternoon our text consists of verses 1 and 2. I'll be referring to many other verses in this brief psalm as well. And the Lord willing, next Sunday afternoon, I'll preach from verse 4. So two sermons from Psalm 121. Let's read the 8 verses of Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Thus far we read God's word. The text especially focusing on verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 121 speaks of the child of God. Psalm 121 speaks of really the church of Jesus Christ as a traveler journeying through the wilderness. And that's who we are. We are pilgrims on a journey, making our way to the heavenly Jerusalem. And along the way, we trust in God every step of the way. We trust that God will be the one to guard us from all danger, that He will direct our footsteps, and that He will see us safely to our everlasting destination in the glories of heaven. And in all the struggles that we encounter as we make our way home, we confess at all times and in every place that Jehovah is my help. And we need help because we are helpless creatures. And the psalm speaks of that help. Our help cometh from Jehovah. And the help that you and I need, the help the psalmist speaks of, it isn't like the kind of help when a rope is thrown out to a person struggling in the water, and that swimmer grabs hold of that rope and then pulls himself in. Now, that rope was nice and it helped out, but it was the person who did all the work in pulling himself to safety. And sometimes in our English language, we use the word help as a synonym for assist. To assist. Somebody isn't able to do all the work by himself. He needs some assistance. And somebody says, here, let me assist you. You can do most of it, but I'll give you the little extra that you need to help and to assist you. But beloved, that's not the nature of the help that you and I need. By nature, you and I have no strength in and of ourselves at all. And we are weak, we are helpless, we are destitute, we are dead in trespasses and sins. The help then that we need is a help that does everything, a powerful help, a help to deliver me from the bondage of all my sins, a help to lead and guide me as I walk the pilgrim's pathway. And for that help, and for that deliverance, for that leadership, for that guidance, I turn to Jehovah and Him alone. My help cometh from Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. And that's the theme as we consider Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. My help cometh from the Lord. Let's notice in the first place that Jehovah is my strong helper. Secondly, that we have uplifted eyes, my uplifted eyes. And then finally, my sure preservation. My help cometh from the Lord. Now, the King James Version translates the second part of verse 1 as a statement. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And that's a statement. More literally, that last statement in verse 1 should be a question. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? And then verse 2 gives the answer. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And it's interesting that every single versification of Psalm 121 that we have in our Psalter, Numbers 344 through 347, and we'll sing one of those Psalter numbers at the end of the service, they all have us singing it the way the original Hebrew has it, as a question. But now we look at this question and maybe say, why does the psalmist ask that question? And is it not the case that he has a wrong idea of where his help comes from? Especially if we would only have verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And the question is, what is there about the hills that can help? And isn't that really the kind of statement that the pagan unbelievers might say? And you think back to Old Testament Bible times, and so many times when the Israelites, and together with the nations, the people of the nations, when they would go to the high places to offer sacrifices and to worship their false gods. And those high places and the altars therein were most often built on high hills or on mountains, because the thinking was that will bring me closer to my God and to all of those false gods. Well, the psalmist isn't speaking of hills or mountains in that sense, the way that the pagan unbelievers would use those hills and mountains. The hills that the psalmist is looking toward are the hills and mountains upon which the city of Jerusalem was built. And Jerusalem was the city of David. And it was going to be in Jerusalem. That's where God was pleased to dwell with his people. And that's where eventually the temple would be built. And it would be there in Jerusalem that God would dwell with his people and protect his people out of his holy mountain. And especially from the heights of Mount Zion, where the temple would be built. And then the question at the end of verse 1 makes this confession of the psalmist emphatic. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? Why am I looking up to those hills where Jerusalem is? What is there about those hills? And the answer is verse 2. It is the Lord who dwells there with his people. My help cometh from the Lord. And so, people of God, where do we look for help? When there's trouble in your life, when there's distress and worry and agitation, you need help. Where do you look? Perhaps you need earthly physical help because of an earthly condition, pains and aches in the body. Perhaps it's because of relationship problems, when you experience poverty for a time, and making a living is difficult, and earning sufficient income to cover the bills is becoming increasingly difficult, or whether it be any other earthly distress, where do you look for help? Or when you need the spiritual help, when you struggle with sin, when there is a lack of assurance in your heart or mine, when we have the need for strength and courage as we fight the good fight, where do you look for help? And sometimes when we're not careful with the way that we speak, when we're not looking up, and when we're looking down, sometimes when we are tempted to say, I don't know where to go. My troubles are so complex, they're so burdensome that I don't think anybody can help me, and we don't know where to look, and we feel helpless. I look here and I look there. I go to this person and they give me some sympathetic words, but the trouble still remains. I go to the doctor and he can't take the pain away. I go and ask friends what I should do, and that's good. And we ought to seek counsel and wisdom from God-fearing friends. But if they would give worldly counsel, then they cannot help. In other words, the problem is that so often we look around us. So often the problem is that we look to those and to other things that are on the same level, the same plane that we are, and we don't look up. And that's the instruction that the psalmist gives us. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And this is so very meaningful for those Old Testament Israelites who originally read this word of God, so that if you were down there in the valley, round about Jerusalem, or you were closer to the Dead Sea, or you were down in Samaria, or you were down in Galilee, wherever you would have to look up to the city of David. You would have to look up to go and travel to Mount Zion. And that's a picture for you and me. Spiritually, we look up and we find our help in Jehovah God. Now, how quickly, though, do we look up? Is it the case that when the trial is all over with, Then that's the time that I will look up, but first I want to try and solve the problem all on my own? First I want to try and solve this problem without Jehovah? Or is it the case that Jehovah is the last resort that I go to help me with my problem? Well, the Christian man and woman and young person, child, knows that Jehovah is not my last resort. But the mature Christian of whatever age says, I have found that Jehovah is my help. I will look no place else. I will go to Him in prayer. I seek my God and my Father. The source of all my help is Jehovah God. Now, why is that? Why is Jehovah the source of all my help? Well, in the first place, it's because He's the only true helper. He's the only God that can help. There is no God in front of Him or beside Him or alongside of Him. He is the one true and living God. And yes, it's the case that God uses means to help us, yet God always remains the helper. So that I may go to the doctor to seek help in my physical needs, I may seek a friend or a godly counselor in my time of need, but whenever my need through them is supplied, then I get on my knees and I thank Jehovah God for the help that he has afforded me. Why is Jehovah the source of my help? Verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And this follows close from the sermon we had this morning on the concluding words of the Lord's Prayer, where we ascribe all power and glory and dominion to Jehovah God, and that gives us confidence that he can do all things. We resort to Jehovah to be my help because he is all-powerful and he is the all-wise one. So that if you find yourself sinking in quicksand that is pulling you down, do you want a little child or a very weak man extend his arm and try and pull you out? Or would you rather have a man with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm to grab hold of you? If you have some great problem in your life that you just can't figure out, and it's weighing you down, do you seek advice and counsel from a foolish man off the streets? Or do you seek counsel and wisdom from a wise, learned man who has helped many a person before you? Well, beloved, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That goes to show his power. And you think of the wisdom as well of God in creation. So powerful, God creating all things out of nothing, and so wise in the way that he created, because God didn't create man first. He didn't create the trees and the plants without first creating the dry land. But God first created the firmament, and then the dry land, and then the sea, and then the fish, and the plants, and the birds, and then man. And that shows the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God in all of the interrelatedness of everything of creation, whether it be the moon and the tides, the coming and the going of the seasons. All these things and more, God in his providential wisdom leads and guides. And the point is this: for help, for our help, would we not seek to the one who is all-powerful and who is all-wise? Or is it the case that my problem is too great, that Jehovah's strength will not prevail? Is it the case that my problem is so complicated that he in his wisdom is not able to counsel? Well, beloved, the answer is obvious. Our God is powerful to save and wise to know my needs, and thus he knows exactly the best way to help. And so resort to him. My help cometh from Jehovah. And further, why is Jehovah the source of all my help? And this will be something that I expand later next Sunday afternoon, but verses 3 and 4, because he never sleeps. Verses 3 and 4, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So that, consider that for of Jehovah God for a moment. If Jehovah had periods of sleep like you and I do, of what help would he be? Because when we are in danger, somebody sleeping in bed is of no help to us. But it takes one being awake and alert who knows what is going on. We need that kind of one to help us. Well, beloved, Jehovah never sleeps, and neither does he slumber. That's what the Word of God says here, and that word slumber in verse 3 refers not to a deep sleep, but it refers to something a little bit less. It refers to a slumber, to being on the verge of sleepiness, but it speaks of a person who is awake, but a person who is very tired, and they're to the point of nodding off, and they become a little bit oblivious as to what is going on. And the psalmist declares, Jehovah never even gets drowsy, never even nods off inadvertently or inattentively. He never finds himself so preoccupied that he doesn't know exactly what's going on at every moment, at every turn in your life, but always attentive, always alert, always ready to help. Now, does any human being, friend or family member, well-meaning as they may be, fit those criteria? And the answer is no, because there's only one who is always awake and never slumbers. From the beginning to the end of the world, there is. His name is Jehovah. And then the greatest help that we all stand in need of, my need and your need, is centrally a spiritual need. Our need and our problem is the problem of all of our sins. We need to be delivered from the bondage of sin, and for that there is only one helper. Not two, not many different. There's only one helper. One helper in the whole world who can do such a great work as to save me from my sins. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a strong helper he is. And the help that he gives is that he took all our sins upon himself. And that means that he has gone, he's taken our flesh upon himself. And he's gone through all of the trials and the temptations that we go through. And the Word of God states that in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, where the Word of God says this of Jesus Christ, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." So that Jesus became like one of us. He was tempted by the devil, and in that temptation he suffered. And now he is able to help, to succor, to help you and I when we are tempted. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has gone through that and more. And therefore, you and I mustn't ever find ourselves saying that nobody in the whole world knows what I am going through. Not to minimize any pain or distress that God would put in our lives, but we mustn't ever say that nobody knows what kind of pain and misery and distress that I am going through. And there's nobody that understands, and therefore there's nobody that can help. And you mustn't ever say that, because that's not a true statement. There is one who knows. There is one who helps, and that is Jesus Christ, our faithful Lord and Savior. But the very best part of the help we receive from our Savior is what he accomplished by way of his death on the cross. And that's ultimately the help that you and I need. It's the help from the wrath of God against sin, The wrath of God, which punishes sin and punishes the sinner with everlasting condemnation, and if that sin is not removed, then you and I are in trouble. Then we are in distress. If we are to be saved, we need our sins removed. We need those sins covered. And beloved, that's what our Savior did on the cross. He helped us. He delivered us by covering all of our sins, by suffering the wrath of God in our place. And our Savior now brings us into everlasting fellowship with Him and the Father. What a strong, powerful Savior we have, the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has helped us, who has delivered us. And that's why in the Old Testament that God chose to symbolize His power and strength through those hills and through that mountain of Zion, very high, very exalted, very lifted up, showing forth His power and might. My help cometh from Jehovah. And therefore, people of God, look up to Him for help. And that's what we have in verse 1. Verse 1 states, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And when the Bible speaks of us lifting up our eyes unto the hills, that puts us down below. That puts us in a position of a kind of misery, of a kind of distress, as pilgrims traveling through the country with all of the attendant dangers. And we look forward to being delivered from these dangers. And so we look up. And the psalmist declares in so many ways the what he needs help from in verse 3, that Jehovah will not suffer thy foot to be moved. So you think of our foot to be moved. And here in your mind's eye, you must think of an Israelite traveling to Jerusalem, making his way to the temple. Jerusalem is way up there on the mountain, and that pilgrim is down there traveling in the valley, down in the rocks. And the road going up to Jerusalem was a very steep climb. And there's the danger of having your foot be moved on those sharp rocks. There's the danger of those thieves and robbers that would come and stand in your way. There was need for the pilgrim to be careful where he was walking. And beloved, for us, as we travel through this life, there are dangers. There is the ditch on one side. There is a ravine on the other side. Our feet are in danger of slipping. And because of those dangers, we need to look up. Another danger on our journey, verse 6, speaks of the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The sun smiting you by day. That's the heat of the sun beating down on you so that you become weary. You become tired. You become thirsty. And if that's the heat during the day, then the opposite is true when we think of night, the cold of night. And that's what the psalmist is speaking of. The heat will not smite you by day, nor will the cold smite you by night. And that tells us that day and night, there are dangers that you and I as God's people encounter. And so this pilgrim understands that he needs Jehovah's help. And the psalmist understands that it's not simply earthly bodily help that he stands in need of, but he confesses his need for spiritual help. And that's what we have in verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Whether it's earthly evil or spiritual evil, but all evil. And when in verse 7, he shall preserve thy soul, then that doesn't mean that God will only preserve our soul to the neglect of our bodies, but God will preserve your entire life in all its forms, earthly and spiritual. God will be that help. God will be that preserver. He will guard my heart and guide my feet and keep my lips and give me wisdom to glorify and honor him. Satan goes about as a roaring lion. Danger lurks. I need Jehovah's help. And in that consciousness, let us say, I will lift up my eyes. And our looking up is not a mere physical looking up, because you can look up to the hills of Jerusalem all you want. You can get on a plane and go down in the valley about Jerusalem and look up to where Mount Zion is, but that all by itself will give you no help from Jehovah. And the same goes if you suppose you can open your Bible and sit in church and suppose that something magical would happen just by performing the outward act. No, but looking up to the hills is speaking of faith. Faith looks up, so that even now in our worship service, singing, praying, it's not something we simply do outwardly. It's not something we just go through the motions, but these become an exercise of faith whereby our hearts and our minds and our eyes are lifted up to behold spiritual and heavenly things, even Jehovah God, our salvation. But always, that's what faith does. Faith looks up. And earlier I said that you mustn't look around for your help. You mustn't look for things on the same plane as you are for your salvation, but you must look up. And then you think of what the opposite means. What the devil wants us to do is to look straight across, and even then to look down, to become despondent in the dangers of life, and going through the trials of life, that we would be discouraged, that we would always be hanging our heads low, to look down at my feet and to say, everything is against me. Woe is me. There is no help. Faith looks up to Jehovah. And what an amazing faith. And that's why we conclude that this faith doesn't originate in me. It's not my own work. It's not that you and I have this innate ability to look up to Jehovah in times of distress. But even this faith that God gives us is a gift of God. But what a beautiful thing is faith, which looks up, this knowledge and confidence, looking up to the hills, looking in faith to Jehovah. Then you and I may have that confidence and that assurance that God will provide help and that he will avert all evil or turn it to my profit. And therefore, finally, the third point, because Jehovah is my help, and because I look up to him and find my help in him, I know that my preservation is secure. Jehovah God will keep me. He will guide me. He will keep me safe in the hollow of his hand. And that's what we see all over this psalm, in Psalm 121. In verse 3, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. And then verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Written throughout this whole psalm is the truth of God's power and might to keep and to preserve his people so that they cannot be lost. Now, let's have a right idea of what this preservation is all about. That God preserves you and me, that God preserves all of his people, does not mean that God will preserve us by giving us a nice, easy, comfortable lifestyle. Does not mean that God will give us a life where we have relatively few trials and tribulations. That's not what preservation means. That God keeps you, that God preserves you, means that God will never let his children fall away. That we will continue always to be his children. And that God will surely bring us to heavenly glory. And that's confessional with us. That's the Canons of Dort, the fifth head of doctrine, Article 9. Of this preservation of the elect to salvation and of their perseverance in the faith, true believers for themselves may and do obtain assurance according to the measure of their faith, whereby they arrive at the certain persuasion that they will ever continue true and living members of the church, and they experience forgiveness of sins and will at last inherit eternal life. So it might very well be the case that though God preserves you and I, yet nonetheless, there will be trouble. There will be trial. There will be sorrow. And there will be death. And you may expect that. But those troubles will not be able to destroy our faith. The devil and all his host will not be able to pluck us out of the hand of our Heavenly Father. Where do we experience this preserving power of God? Note verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And note in that regard that the psalmist doesn't say, well, why do I even need to lift up my eyes to the hills when I can go to God right in prayer? Why lift up my eyes to the hills when I can go to God in reading the Bible all by myself at home? And those things are true all by themselves, that we do go to God in prayer, and we do seek him in reading his holy word, but to the hills, where his abode is, where the temple is, where the church of Jesus Christ is. That's where I'll look. That's where I'll go. Because God dwells with his people in the church, which is the body of Jesus Christ. It's here, then, in the instituted church, that God speaks to us. Now, he uses an ordained minister to speak to us, but it's the words of Christ our Savior, teaching us, helping us, instructing us, comforting us, leading us along our earthly pathway. And then there's a calling for every one of us to remain diligent, faithful members in a true church of Jesus Christ, because that's where God speaks to us. That's where God helps us, helping us through his word, helping us even physically through the office of mercy, through the diaconate. And then there's the help, too, that we receive from other members in the church, the help that we can offer to other members to use my time and my abilities and talents that God has first given me for the help and the welfare of others. It's in the Church of Jesus Christ where we are helped. And though it be the case that others help me, that others bring those sympathetic words, and that is helpful, but ultimately it's God who helps me, who uses others in the church to be of good cheer to me. May God give us grace. May God be gracious to us to experience His help and to seek His help as we travel along this pathway, because we journey through life, and at times we are on the mountaintops of faith, and we like those days. And those times are so spiritually encouraging for us, but there are times also when we find ourselves down in the valley. But at whatever point we are, always the word of God to us is, look up, lift up your eyes. Let this be a continual, ceaseless activity on your part and mine, so that whether we are at a low point or a high point, whether rich or poor, whether bond or free, I will continually lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Where does my help come from? My help comes from Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. And when Jehovah is your helper, He will help, He will deliver, and He will save, and you will be preserved. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank thee for thy word. Apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Give us the eye of faith, that we may look up, that we may seek our help and refuge in thee and thee alone. Bless us along our earthly sojourn. Give us strength that we would not despair and become despondent, but that we may know that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave His life for us. Give us that strength and confidence to approach every trial and every temptation, knowing that Jesus Christ is our help, and He has been tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and that our salvation is secure in Him. Bless us in the rest of this worship service as we sing forth thy praises, and in the remainder of this Sabbath day, grant that we would keep it holy to the glory of thy name, for thou art worthy, our God and our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We sing Psalter number 345. Psalter number 345. You note how in stanza one there is that question, to the hills I lift my eyes, whence shall help for me arise? From the Lord shall come my aid, who the heaven and earth has made. Let's sing the two stanzas of 345.
Thank you.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.